Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll speak to Rasmussen College, a Yellow Ribbon Network member, to learn about their upcoming resource fair, and we'll check in on this season's World War II roundtable. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
September 18th marks the birthday of the United States Air Force, the Aerial Warfare Service Branch of the United States Military. It's time to reflect on the great history of the Air Force. World War II had been over for 2 years, and the Korean War lay 3 years ahead when the Air Force ended a 40-year association with the United States Army to become a separate service. The mission of the United States Air Force is to fly, fight, and win in air, space, and cyberspace. To achieve that mission, the Air Force has a vision of global vigilance, reach, and power. That vision relies on developing airmen, technology to warfighting, and integrating operations. The Air Force has come a long way since its formation in 1947, and the excellence and tradition are carried on in Minnesota by the Minnesota Air National Guard's 133rd Airlift Wing and the 148th Fighter Wing. With the increased emphasis on cyber warfare, I am confident we'll see the Air Force and the Air National Guard progress even further in our generation and generations to come.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now from Rasmussen College is Patty Sagert, the campus director, and from Volt, Mark DeAwada, community relationships manager. Ladies, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
We are so honored to be here. Thank you.
Thanks for having us, Tom.
Makta, I'm going to get that name right the rest of the day. I'm sorry.
You're doing such a great job.
We practiced earlier, and then I read that R, and I shouldn't have done that. Patty, I want to start with you. Rasmussen College is a Yellow Ribbon Network member and has been for several years.
We have. We're really proud of that. We're one of about 30 local Minnesota companies who have action plans in place to support the hiring, employee engagement, of local military families, members and their families. We're very thrilled to do that, to support our military families.
And Patty, you come from a long line of military in your family, don't you?
I do. Both my father and my late father-in-law served in the Air Force, so absolutely.
So you've got a little soft spot in your heart for some military members.
I do.
Now tell me, what does it mean to Rasmussen College when they became proclaimed as a Yellow Ribbon Network?
It was really an honor for us. Again, we have a long history of supporting our communities, and we really wanted to have the outreach to our military families. And this is just one way that we support our military families, by being a Yellow Ribbon company and college. But we do so many more things, like the resource fair that we're holding at our campus. We have special military pricing for some of our military members.
And can we go into that a little bit? Tell me about that pricing.
Absolutely. Our current military rate for, again, some of our military members is $167 per credit.
And how does that compare with the normal rates? It's a substantial discount, I understand.
It is. We do have new pricing that we've announced in Minnesota. We reduced our tuition by 18%. So our normal tuition is $299 for full-time students. So a significant discount for, again, some of our military members.
Now, wait a minute, Patty. What college reduces their tuition by 18%? How in the world did you do that?
Well, we looked at our operations. We were able to make some significant efficiencies with our technology, but yet we haven't reduced the level of service that we provide to our students and to our military families, and that's really important to us. At Rasmussen College, we pride ourselves on the personalized experience we give our students, both in the classroom as well as if they need tutoring support, both residentially and online, to help them.
Now, Patty, when I think of Rasmussen College, and I don't always think right, I think of a business school of sorts. What type of degree programs are available at Rasmussen?
Well, I appreciate you asking that, because in Minnesota, we at one time were Rasmussen Business College. We've evolved and changed, and our name is Rasmussen College. We have 26 campuses across the country and serve students all online in every state. However, our programming has significantly changed as we've kept pace with what employers are expecting. So we have graduates in business, in justice studies programs such as law enforcement, early childhood education, technology, design, health sciences, and nursing. So a broad array of certificates, diplomas, associate's degrees, and bachelor's degrees.
So there's much more available at Rasmussen now than there ever has been.
Always. And we keep up with the trends. We make sure that we're addressing the trends in the market so that our students and graduates have the skills that they need to be successful. Actually, 85% of our graduates are either working in the field that they went to school for or they're continuing their education. We're really proud of that.
We're speaking with Patty Sagert from Rasmussen College on Minnesota Military Radio. And Patty, we've got to turn our attention now to Volt Workforce Solutions. And Magda, I'm reading here, and now it says, Volt acknowledges the challenges military veterans face in competitive job market with difficulty translating their military experience into the private sector. Can you tell me, welcome to the show first.
Thanks for having me.
Tell me a little bit about how did you get into this and how did Volt get into the Volt Military Heroes program?
Well, Volt Workforce Solutions is a staffing firm. We have two locations here in the Twin Cities, and with over 60 years experience working in the staffing industry, we found that through challenging economic times, it's difficult to find a job. And so we created our Volt Military Heroes program to service the needs of our service members and their families and helping them support through transition, taking their military experience and translating that into civilian terms. We've then created partnerships with our current clients to hopefully place them once they're ready and able to go back to work.
So you're working alongside with DEED and some of the other organizations that are trying to help our veterans and our current service members find work when they return from deployments or find work when sometimes the employer shuts down or whatever might happen.
Absolutely. We work with the strong veteran-supported community partnerships out there, DEED being one of them. And through some of the work that we've done through our corporate partnership with Rasmussen College, we've been able to create a resource fair catered specifically towards veterans and the needs that they have in the community.
So one of the things we keep hearing about from our service members that come back is how do they take their military training and education and convert that into something that civilian employers would understand. For instance, if a soldier comes back and they say, "What'd you do?" "Well, I maintained a tank." Well, okay. What does that mean? How do you put that in English, and how do you put that in terms that a civilian employer can put to use?
Absolutely. And, through educating both sides, the military service member and the employers, we both have to come together and share our knowledge and expertise on the military side and on the civilian side. So it's really bridging the gap and educating employers. What does it mean to hire a service member? What type of skills and experience have they attained through their military profession, their career, that translates well into civilian terms? And how do we take those skills and incorporate them into a day-to-day work function at locations across the Twin Cities?
Now, how big a challenge has that been for you, and how did you sort it out?
You know, I think just through their key attributes that we've been able to learn and understand through various partnerships and conversations, the leadership piece, the diversity, being able to work well under pressure, those are all key attributes that all employers can use. And so once a service member has been able to identify, you know, what they're looking for in their next career step, we take that a step further and educate our clients on how to utilize them in different areas of their company.
So I would guess when they come in and you take a look at their background and you sit them down and try to help them, one of the first things you have to deal with is a resume. And how do you put that military lingo into civilian language?
Absolutely. So we use a couple resources out there that are social media, databases that we can use to help translate military experience into civilian terms. But what we do is we work closely with our employers to understand what their needs are. And then we're able to communicate back to the service member, tell me how you worked well under pressure in the military. And that through those conversations, we're able to speak to our employer and say, you know, they were responsible for million-dollar budgets. They, you know, supervised teams of hundreds of service members. These are individuals that it's not necessarily, it's what they had to do to survive. And to be able to take that experience and to relate it to our civilian employers has been huge.
Ladies, we're going to have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk about the Rasmussen College Military Service Member and Spouse Resource Fair and how Rasmussen has teamed up with Volt Workforce Solutions to help our service members. We've been speaking with Patty Sagert and Magda Awada on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking with Patty Saggart, Campus Director of Rasmussen College, and Makta Awada, Community Relations Manager from Volt Workforce Solutions. Makta, I wanted to come back to you. Volt is working with our soldiers and with our veterans and helping them through things. And before we went to the break, we talked a little bit about helping them translate their military experience into civilian terms on their resume. We also help them with their interview skills. What other kind of things do you help our service members and our veterans with?
Well, we talk about opportunities that are available in the marketplace that might meet their needs. So the challenge is understanding, coming out of the military, how they can utilize their experience into civilian terms. So we've identified specific positions with our client companies where they'd be a great fit based on the attributes and skills they learned in the military. It's a partnership where we've met with our clients face to face. If you had the perfect person, what type of skills would they have? And we relate that back to their military experience. So we're able to take certain positions within the military where we know they have key attributes and market them to our clients based on those experiences.
Okay, so when they first come in, you interview them, find out what they did, check out their military career, maybe help them write up a resume. Then do you actually spend some time with them, talk about their interviewing skills?
Absolutely. You know, we want them to be successful throughout the process. And the relationship that they build with us is key because we're able to coach them through. You know, we can tell them the ins and outs of companies, what type of culture fit they're looking for, what to expect in the interview process. We can really coach them through a successful experience with us. And so, you know, they'll sit down face to face with a Volt recruiter specific to the area or specialty that they're looking for. We place in four areas of expertise: light industrial, administrative support, accounting, finance, IT, and engineering. So within those four skill sets, we're able to identify not only employers, but specific positions where they'd be most marketable.
Patty, I want to come back to you. When our troops come back from deployments these days, the economy's been a little bit soft. Maybe a good time to go back to college, get that extra degree, some extra training before you go out into the workplace. Do you see a difference between the students at Rasmussen that were non-military and the ones that did serve?
Absolutely. There are differences. But again, it's bringing them into an environment where they feel comfortable. At Rasmussen College, we pride ourselves on small class sizes and intergenerational learning. So we have students that range from 18 to 50 plus that have military experience and non-military experience. The military members bring a really unique lens and perspective into the classroom that is such a value to the educational experience for all of our students. They're organized, they're detailed, they're great contributors in our classrooms.
You know, you might not believe this, but I remember when I came back from Vietnam and I got out of the service, I went to college. And I was 4 or 5 years older than the kids coming right out of high school. And they were kind of trying to figure out what they were doing. I just wanted to get in there and get the work done and get to it. And so there was a bit of a difference because of the attitude. Is that still there today?
To some degree, yes. But at Rasmussen College, most of our students are career focused. They want to get into a career as quickly as possible. And Rasmussen provides them that pathway. Our students go year round. We don't take summers off. If they're in an associate's degree program and they're going full-time, they can graduate in as little as 18 months or sooner, depending on their ability to their educational experience. So again, most of our students are really career-focused, and that's why I think the environment is so great for a military member or family member.
So you've got quite a mix of ages, and everybody's pretty motivated to go get it done.
And the other great piece is our faculty members. They are working in the field, many of them, during the day. They come into the classroom with relevant experiences from their day job into the classroom in the evening. And I think that's a great experience for our students. We really view our classrooms as a world as a classroom. So our students are involved in internships and externships. And we have guest speakers that come in, really relevant information that they're learning in the classroom that they can apply immediately.
Sounds like you're sold. You better enroll.
Thanks, Tom.
We're speaking with Patty Saggart and Makta Awada on Minnesota Military Radio. Patty, it's time to talk, I think, about this resource fair that you're putting on. Can you tell me about it?
I would love to. We are, as part of giving back to the community, we're hosting a military service member resource fair in collaboration with Volt. We're hosting that event at our Blaine campus, which is conveniently located off 35W and 95th Avenue. It's being held Wednesday, September 25th in the afternoon from 1 to 4 p.m. So it's for military members and their families. The great thing is, if you have kids and you aren't able to secure daycare that day, bring them along. It's a family-friendly event. We will have resources available for you to provide care for your kids while you're at the event.
Child care, that'll be a good thing for some of them, won't it?
Absolutely. And we've got three components to our resource fair. We have employers that not only walk the walk and talk the talk, they hire military family members. We didn't want just any employer at this resource fair. We wanted ones that were committed to hiring military family members. In addition to that, we're going to have resources. So we've got the Mobile Vets Unit, Anoka County Services is going to, Veteran Services Office will be there, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon will be there, a number of other resources available. And we're going to have workshops. Makhta, maybe do you want to talk about the workshops?
Absolutely. For our job seekers and their families, we will have a variety of sessions set up for mock interviews, setting up on-the-spot LinkedIn profiles to create more professional awareness of your skills and experience, and also just job hunting and interviewing tips. So we encourage, you know, if you're slightly interested in learning about employment, education, some of the resources available in the community, we encourage you to come out. Stop by, have a hot dog and a soda, and just, you know, check out what's available to you in the community.
Lunch, childcare, and a one-stop shop. This is going to be a good deal. How many employers do you think will be there, Patty?
We expect at least 8. Again, it was we had very focused goals to make sure that those employers hire military families. So again, we do have a select number of employers on site, along with over 14 resources available. So vendors that will be there that will have specific resources geared to military families.
I do want to clarify that it's not necessarily a job fair, but a resource fair. So don't feel pressured to come dressed for success as most, you know, job fairs aim for you to do. Really come out, check out what's available. We, you know, show up with your children in tow if you'd like. Stay for 10 minutes, stay for the entire time. Really, whatever works with your schedule, we just encourage that you stop by.
Patty, I see but from your materials that they can also learn how to use social media for their career search. Well, that's something that, of course, was never there when I started my career, but are some of our military having trouble figuring out how to do that, using the internet and social media and all those things?
I think a lot of students struggle with their social media presence, what's appropriate. And for military family members or our students in general, it's identifying relationships and key relationships through using social media. So definitely that's a focus of this resource fair, because it is such an integral way now to find jobs. In many instances, you aren't going to the newspaper to find a job anymore. Companies are posting them out on their sites. You're going to a website. You're not necessarily talking to somebody in person. So really understanding how to incorporate and use social media appropriately is really important.
And for more information, it says contact the Rasmussen Blaine campus at 763-795-4720. Patty, I wanted to come back to this. When is it again, and where is it, and how many folks would you like to get there?
The resource fair will be held on Wednesday, September 25th in the afternoon from 1 to 4 p.m. at the Rasmussen College Blaine campus. We would love to see hundreds of veterans as well as military family members come to this resource fair, because this is about them, and all the resources are geared for them specifically.
Makhta, any final thoughts about the resource fair?
We would love to see you there. It's a way for us to be able to give back and thank you for everything that you've done for us, and just to educate and make aware of the resources that are available. So we'd love to see everyone there.
And Patty, Rasmussen College, I see you every time I'm coming around the corner. I saw you at the proclamation ceremony, and now you're doing this resource fair. And, of course, you had a group out at the Minnesota Military Family Foundation Golf Classic in August, and I'd like to thank you for that.
We did. It was great. It was a great way to support military families, and that, again, goes back to our mission at Rasmussen College to give back to communities. So we try to be as involved as possible, and especially to our military families who keep us safe every day and sacrifice. So thank you, Tom. And again, Minnesota Military Radio for hosting us today.
Ladies, keep up the good work. Good luck with your resource fair, and thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio. That was Patty Sagert, the campus director from Rasmussen College, and Makta Awana, community relationships manager from Volt Workforce Solutions. Coming up next will be the World War II Roundtable with retired Colonel Don Patton. Please stay with us.
Hi, this is Bill Popp of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. An Army squad is made up of 8 soldiers, and when the squad is on patrol, each soldier is dependent on each other for safety. When a soldier is distracted because of a financial crisis with the family back home, that puts every soldier on the squad at risk. The Minnesota Military Family Foundation helps turn a bad situation into a positive one. The foundation provides financial support during a financial crisis at home. This helps re-energize the soldier. The soldier feels the financial burden lifted and has feelings of pride because of the support from the community at home. When the soldier is no longer focused on the financial crisis at home, the soldier is able to stay engaged in the mission and do his duty to protect other soldiers in the squad. When we help one soldier, we're helping all soldiers. When we help one military family, we're helping all military families. If you're in a position to help, please donate. Go to MinnesotaMilitaryFamilyFoundation.org.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we'll learn about the World War II Roundtable with retired Colonel Don Patton. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Shelito.
Here at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, we continue to prepare for the upcoming legislative session. Last year's session helped the department reposition itself in order to better serve Minnesota's veterans and their families. This upcoming session is being referred to as the UN-session, a term coined to signify a shorter, more focused session. Many of the items that will impact veterans are cleanup, which means minor corrections or clarifications to existing laws and regulations. When reflecting back to this past session, I cannot help but think about the role our veteran service organizations played in partnership with our county veteran service officers and other veteran-focused organizations. Statistically, veterans are a small percentage of Minnesota's general population, but veterans have families and friends. With that being said, I'm asking all veterans to be aware of what's happening at all levels of government to help ensure that the promises made to our veterans and those currently serving are kept. To stay up to date on veteran-related legislation, visit MinnesotaVeteran.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now from the History Roundtable is retired Colonel Don Patton. Don, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having me in.
Sir, I understand you're a retired colonel. Can you tell me a little bit about your military career?
I went a lot of places that I didn't think I'd ever go. 1950s, you get in the military. Everybody had to go at that time, if you remember. And the military was not going to be one of those things that was high on my priority list. So graduated from Texas A&M, commissioned, went into the Air Defense, had some great assignments, and ended up staying for 30 years.
Was it a good 30 years looking back, sir?
Great 30 years.
So you traveled the world, as they say.
I don't know that I traveled a lot, but just some great great assignments. And, you know, when you do things that enrich your life, it energizes you, and you look back and say, I'm glad I went there.
Made some great friends, had some great experiences.
Friends, some great experiences.
Sir, I understand your son is a graduate of the Air Force Academy.
He is.
And he flies airplanes.
Well, he used to fly airplanes. He was an F-15 pilot. He was actually awarded 2 Distinguished Flying Crosses. His unit was the first F-15 unit flying over Afghanistan after 9/11.
So he was a pretty good pilot.
He did some great things. He is now commanding a drone squadron.
So he's still in the service?
He is.
And I can see you smiling. You're pretty proud of him, aren't you?
He's great.
That's wonderful, isn't it? Sir, can you tell me a little bit the History Roundtable? When did it start, and how did you get involved?
Well, my degree from A&M was in engineering, and but I always I think because of the military heritage of A&M, I have to mention that Colonel Earl Rudder, who was the Ranger that led the Rangers up Pont de Hoc on D-Day, was our president. So I felt that attachment to history. I took a course from Dr. Harold Deutsch at the University of Minnesota as a part of my MBA program, and we became great friends. I was then selected to attend the Army War College, the resident class at Carlisle Barracks, and Harold, after he left Minnesota, became a professor at the War College. So we renewed our connection, came back to Minnesota, and one day at the Perkins on Riverside in 94, we got together and said, let's start something that's kind of a history talk session.
Sounds like you two were destined to cross paths.
God, it wasn't it? But anyway, at the Perkins out there on the atrium, we said, well, let's form this thing. So 1987, we had our first meeting, and Harold says, Don, if you can't organize speakers to come in, I'll just teach my class that I taught at the University of Minnesota. And I guess my one regret after I started asking questions and finding people, there were so many resources in 87, veterans and just prominent historians here that we didn't get Harold to teach enough of his World War II course. I think for the first 2 years, he did two programs. At that time, we were October through May, the second Thursday of each month. And so we did two of the eight programs with Harold. But eventually we had so many great speakers, historians here in Minnesota that we kind of reserved the November program for Harold Deutsch. That became the Harold Deutsch Lecture, which we carry on today. We just finished our 26th year, and we regularly attract up to 300 people at each program. So we've developed a loyal following, and we take very seriously. We're just a bunch of volunteers that find historians, find speakers, find veterans, and talk about World War II.
Colonel, World War II was one of the most important events of the 20th century. And in 1987, you had a lot of folks with firsthand experience.
Absolutely.
Is the picking getting a little thinner now?
The age and health is taking our veterans real quick. The priority that I have in organizing programs is the availability of veterans. We bring in an author historian, normally make it a book signing, and then I put together a panel of veterans that participated in whatever the topic of the evening is. And I know back in the 90s, we had a fellow from here by the name of John Guthrie. At the time, he was colonel. He was the G3 for the southern invasion of France. And to have somebody with that perspective to talk about planning the southern invasion of France, the things they did right, the things they did wrong. And I'll never forget, he was talking about the airborne operation. Said, we had a few problems with that. And there was a guy in the back of the audience that stood up and says, I was in the airborne and you really screwed it up. So everybody had a laugh. But again, it's surprising how many World War II veterans with significant perspectives are still around. But I have to confess, that is becoming the hardest part of my responsibility of organizing programs. And of I attend a lot of veterans events to try to find a few to speak. But there's still some wonderful veterans that we can draw upon.
Colonel, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about some of the topics and the annual tours you take. We're speaking with retired Colonel Don Patton about the World War II History Roundtable. More information can be found on that at mn-ww2roundtable.org, and we'll have links to that on our website. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been speaking with retired Colonel Don Patton about the World War II History Roundtable. Don, before we get into some more details, tell me again, when do the roundtables happen? And I know you're working on the schedule for probably the next couple of years, but when can we come see this again?
Our regular schedule is the second Thursday of each month, September through May. The thing that I've done, because we've really developed a following of people that want to speak, we added a second program in October and in March. So in second Thursday every month, and then the fourth Thursday in October and March.
Colonel, I'm looking at your schedule for 2012-13. And I noticed that you had one in February of 2013. It's called The Emergence of Vietnam from World War II. And you talked about the linkage of World War II to the American involvement in Southeast Asia. I've never seen or heard anybody talk about that, and I served in Vietnam. Was there really a linkage there?
You've heard of a fellow named John Birch?
Yes, sir.
John Birch was the first Vietnam veteran officially credited. He was killed in, like, the fall of 1945.
My goodness. Well, I'll have to see if I can find a tape of that show and take a look at it.
We record all of these programs. They're on. We're actually working to put that on YouTube right now, and the Minnesota Historical Society will have a tape of every one of the programs, and we have a first-rate videographer that tapes them, edits them with file footage, if you know what I'm saying, whenever the topic's there, and first rate for viewing, though.
So historic footage of World War II events and battles.
Exactly.
What type of topics are you going to cover this winter, or coming up this fall and winter?
Well, again, this is all with pencil at this point, and I have an eraser on the other end of it, but pretty firm. The first program we're doing in September is going to be on the Battle of Britain. I've got a historian down in Kansas who was actually an RAF pilot. He's written 30 books on various aviation topics, and we'll have him up. The tour that I'm doing in May of 2014 will be going to Normandy, which is the 70th anniversary of the D-Day landings. And so I've got three programs coming up next year that'll feature various topics. The second program I mentioned in October, we have one of the really prominent contemporary historians, a fellow named Patrick O'Donnell. He's got a new book called Dog Company. It's kind of the band of brothers of the 2nd Ranger Battalion that came up the bluffs at Pont de Hoc, and he'll be coming in to speak. I think this is maybe his fourth time in what'll be our 27 years of coming out. And every time he has a new book coming out, he calls me up and says, "Hey, Don, got a new book. Just had it featured at the Smithsonian or someplace in Washington, but I want to come out and do you. What you got open?" So anyway.
Plug them in and away you go.
Plug them in and away we go. And those are easy. Unfortunately, we don't have any 2nd Ranger guys that are, I'm going to use the word lucid. We've got a couple of 2nd Rangers in the area, but not competent to be on the veterans panel.
We're speaking with retired Colonel Don Patton about the World War II History Roundtable on Minnesota Military Radio. So, Colonel, for our history buffs out there, if they want to spend some time this winter coming and watching the roundtables, then they can go on this trip with you next spring. How long a trip is it? And I know you're going to more places than just Normandy.
Well, yeah, but it will focus, and this will not be, again, this will be our 13th year of having tours, but these are not just windshield tours. It's boots on the ground and sand in the shoes type thing. And we'll start out in Paris a few days, heading out to the Normandy coast. We'll spend a day at Rommel's headquarters at La Roche-Guyon. And then spend the next 6 or 7 days out at probably in Bayou will be our base, but we'll do all of the primary British and American landing zones from an airborne. We'll troop the beaches, climb the bluffs, go to the cemetery at Omaha Beach. Then we'll do the breakout, Operation Cobra, headed down. We'll spend, as the plan now, 3 nights at Mont Saint-Michel. And that is one of those fairy castle places to visit where the invasion, the Norman invasion of England happened in 1066. And one day just to enjoy that beautiful historic spot. Then we'll spend a day with the Brittany Peninsula, St. Malo, the Subpens. And one place that I've never been before is a special operations base down near Rennes. And then the leaving there, we'll come back. The plan is to spend next Memorial Day at the Omaha Beach Cemetery. And as we go there, we'll go through the Falaise Gap, where the German army was pretty well beat up by American forces, and then go to the site where Rommel was shot. It's not a well-marked site, but we've researched and we know where it is. So we go to the kind of the tourist places, but we also try to hit some of the offbeat places that takes a little bit of research to find.
What an interesting way to spend Memorial Day 2014, the 70th anniversary of the invasion and at Normandy.
Exactly.
I haven't been there, sir, but it's on my bucket list.
Well, next year's the time to fill your bucket.
We'll see what we can do. Colonel, we just got a couple of minutes left. I know you've had the highest-ranking soldier from Minnesota on your show, General John W. Vesey. He's fascinating, and his memory is fantastic, isn't it?
General Vesey has been in kind of thinking ahead for this. We've had some unbelievable people on our program. General Vesey was one that came to me right away. One that we had several years ago. We did I think it was the 65th anniversary of the Battle of Midway, and we had Admiral Max Showers, who was the last living veteran at the what they call the hypo. If you've ever seen the movie The Battle of Midway, the guy that is in the house shoes breaking the codes, Max Showers was one of the guys in the background. But we had him out talking about the code breaking to set up how we knew that the Japanese were coming to Midway.
Like that was Hal Holbrook in his robe.
But Max Showers was a Navy ensign at that time, so a great story. But and then we did an Omaha Beach program a couple of 08, I guess it was, and we had a fellow named Bob Slaughter who was in the 29th Division. He then accompanied us over to on our trip. Similar to the one we'll be doing in 14. And to walk out into the surf there at Omaha Beach, he was about 6'4", and have him describe of what it was like going into the beach under fire. And when you're 6'4", having all that, until you face that bluff with all of the arms aiming at you, it was like everyone was aimed at him, but he made it. And unfortunately, he just passed away about 4 months ago. So some great great memories with some great World War II veterans.
Colonel, we got about 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts about the World War II History Roundtable?
Well, we invite everyone to come out. I think I've spoken to every Lions Kiwanis club in the Twin Cities, letting them be aware of our club. Not only to attend, but also to recruit veterans as possible. But we invite people to come out, again, to be in business for 26 years, to attract 200 to 300 people at every program. We think we're doing something right, and we think that people that do come will come back.
Great way to learn some history on World War II.
learn some history, and meet some wonderful people.
Colonel, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Glad to be here.
This is Colonel Don Patton from the World War II History Roundtable. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Patty Sagert, Makta Awada, retired Colonel Don Patton, Commissioner Larry Shelado of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we meet the incoming Minnesota American Legion Department Commander and learn about Suicide Prevention Awareness Month. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.